Hello, everyone. Something, there we go. My screen is acting funny. Hi, everyone. How are you? Can you give me a thumbs up or a heart or something? Let me know you can hear me okay as you come in. Perfect. I am going to get Coach Lisa to come up here and take care of things for us in the chat. Let's get her all set up. And then, hello, everyone. Hello, hello. Man, I love this call. This call is just so much fun for me. Okay. I promised you, if you saw my post on Facebook, I promised you a little bit of information about silence. I'm trying to get everything all straight here, and I keep moving the wrong window. Okay. So I follow on the Instagrams an account called Good Neuroscience. Okay? Good Neuroscience, all one word. And they have the most interesting things about the brain, about nervous system regulation, about staying calm and creating safety. And I found this yesterday about silence, and I wanted to share it with you because I thought it was so interesting. So it's gonna have a little science in it, but it's gonna have a lot of theory in it too, okay? So they say your brain needs silence the same way your muscles need rest after training. Think about that for a minute. You go in, you do a big workout, lose all your muscles and you have a rest day, right? Well, guess what? When you work out your brain, when you're overstimulated, it needs rest too. So it needs silence the same way your muscles need rest after training. Just 2 minutes of quiet can regulate your stress circuits and reactivate brain networks involved in memory, reflection, and emotional balance. 2 minutes of silence. In the silence, your brain shifts into a different mode. It activates something called the default mode network, used for internal focus, daydreaming, memory recall, and emotional processing. Emotional processing, that's what we're here for, right? You can't access this default mode network when you're constantly reacting to noise or stimulation. Even background chatter or traffic can keep your brain in a low-level state of alert. Fascinating, right? This type of short pause has a deeper effect on the nervous system than people realize. Research shows that silence helps reduce activity of the amygdala, the part of the brain that handles fear, stress, and emotional reactivity. Silence helps reduce that part of your brain that handles fear, stress, and emotional reactivity. Can I get a wow? Right? 2 minutes of silence. All this helps explain why quiet time can feel calming even without doing anything else. Meanwhile, the hippocampus and prefrontal cortex become more active during silent periods. These areas are involved in storing memories, planning, and regulating emotions. Brain scans show that during silent rest, blood flow increases in areas involved in learning and memory. My mind was blown when I read this. Constant noise has been linked to higher cortisol, lower focus, slower memory consolidation, and your brain has to use more energy. When you've got outside stimulation going on, your brain has to use more energy to stay on track. It doesn't have to be long, just 2 minutes to reset, create quiet and calm. Now, I was telling one of my private clients about this today, and she's like, "Kathy, this sounds like meditation. I'm a terrible meditator." I am too. Okay. I'm going to tell you, Kathy, I fall asleep during meditation. Meditation is not my thing. But silence, I love. And when I go, y'all have heard me talk about my little short walks that I do, my little 5 minute walks that I do. I consider that my silent time, my little 5 minutes of if I'm overwhelmed, if I'm really agitated, if I'm nervous, I take my 5 minute walk. I listen, I feel the warmth of the sun on my face. Today I heard like the crickets chirping, and I was just calm. It was just calm. So think about that. Think about how you can incorporate 2 minutes of silence. And if you can't find silence, 2 minutes of just like a soul focus on one thing you can hear or one thing you can feel, like sunshine on your skin, and see if that doesn't help you create, bring a stress level down, create a little bit of a pause before eating, help that cortisol level, create some brain flow to the thinking part of your brain. I just thought it was fascinating. I thought this whole concept of 2 minutes of silence was fascinating. Christy says, I will go to the bathroom if I have to and take 2 minutes. Absolutely. Y'all, we all go to the bathroom. You don't have to take your phone, right? You can just sit there for 2 minutes and just listen to the silence and let your brain just wander wherever it's going to. Okay? Pretty fascinating, don't you think? Pretty fascinating. All right, tonight is open coaching. When I first got here, there was a hand raised. It's gone now. I have no hands raised. So I will tell you, while you're thinking about if you'd like to be coached on how to not eat when you're feeling emotional, when you're stressed, how to feel the hard stuff, I want to tell you, Coach Lisa is here to be in the chat because I don't know if y'all know this, but Coach Lisa also has a very calming demeanor about her. Okay. She is also very well schooled in a lot of the nervous system stuff. And so she's kind of hanging out with us because it's fun. It's fun to be here. It's fun to learn about how to be kind to yourself and regulate that nervous system and bring yourself back into that home-based place where you can think clearly and make decisions clearly. Okay? Yeah. All right. Jennifer has her hand raised, so let's do it, Jennifer. Let's make sure she's coming. Awesome. I need more hands, y'all, or it's going to be a short call. Need more hands. Jennifer,
Hello.
hi. How are
How are
you?
you? Good. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
I can. I'm going to turn my volume up just a little bit to make sure. What's on your mind?
So I've actually been thinking about this all day coming in coaching, and then I got in here and thought, well, this is stupid. Don't raise your hand. But since no one else had their hand raised, I figured it might as well. I might as well. But I've been really struggling with a regain that is coming from a reintroduction of binging into my behavior. And some of it has made sense, and I have gotten through the part that I feel like kicked all of this off. But I feel like I'm experiencing that thing where this regains an opportunity to see a part of me that I missed on the first way down, or I haven't completely regained everything, but and I have really been looking at it through like an IFS lens, which I think I've heard you talk about. So
What
is
did
that
you
the in
say? ISS lens?
IFS, internal family
Oh,
systems?
internal
I
family
thought
systems. Yeah,
yes.
IFS. Okay.
And what I have found is I'm experiencing now as I try to even daily, like I make my plan, and then it's like as soon as I wake up, I want to start binging. Is this like younger me who felt like to have love, to gain a love from friends and family, to have a place to belong, that she had to be smaller and lose weight? And she was so pissed off about that, and she didn't want to do it. And
Uh-oh. Y'all tell me, is it me or is it Jennifer that is frozen? Okay, good. It's Jennifer.
is
Oh,
it
there you are.
me?
You're back. You're
Should
back.
I turn my video off and see if that works better? Or is
Sure,
it
if you
just,
want to.
oh, I'm getting a message that says my internet connection is unstable, which I've never
Okay.
gotten before. But but I feel like I'm binging because I'm just sort of so caught up in that energy. It feels so real in me that I'm pissed off that I have to lose weight to like be loved and to be the right version of a person. And
Right.
I know, like rationally, I know it's not true, but oh.
Okay, so you caught me in my first question. I was going to gut check that thought. Do you have to lose weight to be lovable? The answer is obviously no, right?
Right.
We are all built, born, created as people who are deserving of any kind of love, of any unconditional love, right?
Right.
And for those of you in the back who don't know what internal family systems is, the really simple way to describe it, and this is the only way I know to describe it, is that we are all made up of different parts. We have our inner child, we have our rebel, we have our protector, we have all these different facets to our personality, right? And what you've identified, what Jennifer has identified, is that this younger part of her really believes that to have love, she has to lose weight, correct?
Yes.
Jennifer?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Okay.
And like she's sad about it, but she's also really pissed off. And
Okay.
I
She's
indulge, like
all
when I'm
right.
being rational, I'm like, I indulge her too much. But in the moment, it's like my nervous system is hijacked by
Okay. So
those thoughts
what?
and that version of me.
All right, so Ken, is what is the reason that this particular part of you thinks she has to lose weight to be loved?
I mean, sorry. It was a message that was communicated to her, that at 5, when I think
Okay.
have that similar story.
Okay.
Adult me knows that was my parents caring for me in a way that didn't make sense, but for a very long time, until, a few years ago, I struggled with really feeling like I was just so unloved as a kid because I was fat and I've always had weight problems my entire life.
So let me ask you this. If she were sitting across the table from you right now, this 5-year-old version of you that is so sad and pissed off because she's gotten this messaging, how would you comfort her now?
I would tell her that if she would let me earn her trust, that I could teach her how we could enjoy our food and still support like a healthy weight, because I did it for a year and a half. I think that's what I would want to tell her. It's like, you're wrong about You're first of all, you're wrong about needing to be thin to be loved, and it's wildly unfair that like you were given those messages as a kid. Like, I would want to validate her, I think, in that.
So, in order to validate her, you might normalize it. Rather than telling her she's wrong, you might say, "Sweet 5-year-old Jennifer, of course you're angry. I would be angry too. You got this messaging and it was unfair to you. And together, we're going to work on making sure that that messaging is repaired." And then I
I
would
like
ask
that.
her, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me to help you with this? I love you. Do you trust me to help you with this?" And what do you think she would say back?
I think she would tell me she's trying to trust me. I think there's a sense that I have to earn that trust a little bit, which.
Okay. So if she were to tell you what you need to do, or who you need to be, or how you need to act in order to, for her, to trust you, what do you think she would tell you?
stop freaking out. Ironically, I feel like she would say, I had a regain and I'm making this an emergency. And that's also pissing her off because it shouldn't be an emergency. It should just be an opportunity. Like it's, I'm filtering it, I think, through that. I'm triggering that sort of need to, the need for my body to be smaller is an emergency feeling. I think maybe I'm struggling with the regain, those restrictive feelings and that
You still there?
maybe I just have to make sure I am not slipping back into sort of the restrictive side of my habits a little bit and be steady. Make
Okay.
sure this is one thing I did notice. Make sure I'm planning a little more, better foods in good quantities during the week because I'm definitely struggling on the weekends with that sort of I was good all week and I save my fun foods for the weekend and sort of overindulge them. But I
Yeah.
am really getting this feeling that it's more about like getting back to the peace I was feeling around my body because I had lost weight, but I still had a lot more to go, and I was feeling really good about that.
And when you were losing weight, was she feeling good too? 5-year-old Jennifer?
I think I was a little bit ignoring her, to be honest. Like,
Okay. So.
I think I wasn't, I think I was doing a lot of making sure I didn't feel anger towards my parents because I was having a hard time understanding that like parts of me could feel that while adult me knows that's not true. So I have been working on that. So maybe I just kind of gave her the opportunity to come forward. I know that sounds weird, but it feels like maybe that anger had to go somewhere. So this is like she's bringing that forward to my attention.
Yeah. What happens if we are just okay with being angry at your parents? They hurt 5-year-old Jennifer's feelings. She didn't understand what they were telling her of it's normal.
Yeah.
What if that's just okay? And that
Yeah.
allows, this is the piece where we allow our feelings to be there rather than ignore them or push them away. Because when you
Yeah.
allow them to be there and you feel them in your body, they tend to process through. You tend to understand them more and the motivations behind them, and then you can normalize them and work through them, right?
Yeah, and I always judge myself so harshly when those feelings of anger come up. And maybe I just have to let them, they
Yeah.
make sense from a certain perspective of mine.
So when I tell you, Jennifer, you're allowed to be angry, how does that feel? Does it feel
It
like
makes me feel a
relief?
little, yeah, it's something I struggle with, expressing
Right.
my anger.
But if you're
But
allowed to
in
be,
general.
if you're allowed to be angry and you're allowed to be sad, pissed off, then there's like, oh, wait, I don't have to bury this. I get to be a little
Yeah.
pissed off. Oh, okay. And then it kind of gives you a little feeling of relief, right?
It does. Once I stop resisting it and kind of let that thought live in my body for a second, it gives me a lot of relief. Because
I
the
think
anger
that.
doesn't have to cause any sort of action. It is allowed to just be in my body so it can process out.
Yeah. And maybe that's how you build trust back with that 5-year-old version of you that
I
is in the
think you're
background.
right. That really hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Okay.
I know where to put my work. I'm a big journaler, so
Oh, that's
like
beautiful. So tell me how
I
you're going to journal through this. Tell me what
the
your
first
journaling plan is.
thing I always like to do with something like this is to journal on what do I want my relationship with anger to be? So I know at least have a rational framework for where I'd like to be. And I feel like that kind of eases me in to compare what I'm feeling with where I'd like to be and explore then what's causing that. And
I
so
think
many times I think when I get this and I can feel it coming now is my reluctance. It's like I want to inflict it all on me. So it'll be interesting to see what comes up with this. Thank you. Sorry, I kind of went off on a
Yeah,
tangent
no,
there.
that's no, I think this is great. Is it possible that your anger is personified by this 5-year-old version of you, right?
It 100% feels
Yes.
that way.
And in accepting and normalizing your anger, you are also accepting and normalizing this
Her,
5-year-old version of you, right?
and
So,
that feels so right.
So to me, the key is building this relationship with anger, normalizing it, allowing it to be there, feeling it in your body, understanding it, is the same as building this relationship with this 5-year-old version of you. You can handle
I
it from
love
the anger
that.
perspective. You can also write in your journal this conversation that you're having with the 5-year-old version of Jennifer. I've
I
got
love that.
you. I
I will be
love
doing
you.
that.
I've got your back. We'll figure this out. We don't have to be thin to be loved, but what we want to do is learn to love ourselves so that we can create the life that we want to live.
I love that. Okay, that's my homework. I love it.
That's your homework. I
Yes.
would love to hear back from you.
I
Okay.
will. Yes. I can put it in Ask Coaches to your attention. Is that the best
Yep.
way?
You can do
All right.
that. Yep. That would be great.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Are
Really
you
appreciate
good?
it.
I
I'm
want to make
good. I'm
sure.
great.
Okay. All
Yeah,
right.
no, I'm
Thank
feeling
you.
that hopefulness again. So, thank
Yeah.
you.
You're welcome. Thanks for raising your hand. All right. I'm putting you back to attendee. Y'all give Jennifer some love. That was some good stuff. That was some good stuff. Okay. Sky. Yeah. Look at all that love, Jennifer. You're getting it. Sky, you're next. Sky Christina. Okay, she's coming. And y'all, Sky's the only hand raised. So if anybody else wants to talk, wants some coaching, it doesn't have to be on your inner child or your parts. It can be on, whatever stress you feel that creates the urge to eat. Sky, are you going to turn
Hi.
in? Hi.
I'm running around the house because my son is watching TV, so I was just going to escape upstairs. Is that okay to
Okay.
keep it off? Okay.
You can. I'd love to see your face though
I know.
when you settle.
I can yeah, actually, you know what? I could probably take this upstairs real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, and you're not, I mean, I don't get motion sick like Corinne does. So if you're
Okay.
running
Okay.
around the house,
So fine.
you're not gonna bother me.
See.
Girl, my dad was in the Navy. Grew up on boats and stuff.
My iPad's a little strange with the camera, but
Okay.
here we go. So I checked my email and I saw that you were going to be coaching, and I was like, oh, this is perfect opportunity because I have lost, I guess, 15 pounds. I can't do the math that quick, since the beginning of June.
Oh, wow.
And
Awesome.
it's probably, thank you, it's probably my fourth attempt, first attempt with no BS to lose the weight, and the fourth attempt overall in my life. And I'm 50. I just turned 50 in May. The first time I think I joined Weight Watchers, of course, in my mid-30s. Then it was OA, Overeaters Anonymous. Then it was a kind of an extreme intermittent fasting program. And each time I gained it all back. So this time it's very doable, and what's coming up for me in just these last few days is like my snacks that I'm not eating, feel like friends that I miss. And I was like so like taken aback by that. I was like, and I remembered that from 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and I lost 20 pounds pretty quickly with the intermittent fasting. It was pretty, like I said, kind of extreme. And so I thought, wow,
That says a lot, you know? And I had to go to Target last night. I live in New York City, so I was walked to Target with the Queen's cart and got some things, but there's a whole section of Target that has all the snacks,
Oh yeah,
the
I know
chips
it.
and you know the section. It's the best section. It's got
Oh yeah, it's
everything, you
got all
know?
the chips, all
The
the million
candy.
different kinds of trail mix,
Yes, and
all
I
the
am a
things. Yeah.
sweet and salty person. I know I just
Yep.
whatever I want, you know. For much of my life, I could kind of eat that, you know? And then it was like when I hit 36, it just stopped. I stopped being able to kind of maintain a good weight and eat that food. So I kind of have a choice to make. I can either eat the food and weigh a certain amount, or I can not eat that food, you know, within reason. And so when I was feeling a lot more than doable hunger, it was suggested to me by another coach in another program, but she's trained kind of similarly to Corinne. It dovetails nicely with OBS. It was suggested to me that I'd probably have less what I felt was like really hunger, like real like over hunger, if I were to just concentrate a little bit more on getting rid of the carbs, you know, just a little less carbs and just focus a little bit more on protein, healthy fats, and veggies. And I've read that and I know that, and it does seem to work, you know. So I did do that for the last couple of days, and my hunger has been very doable. I felt really good. And then I had these moments of missing my friends. And I was just thought, when you said no one had their hand raised, I was like, well, let me go and share this with the world.
I'm glad you brought it up. I have a I'm working in private coaching right now with someone who has a very similar thought. She says, "But food is my friend, Kathy." That's what she'll tell me. Food is my friend. So just to get the elephant out of the room first, if you decide to go lower carb, that's totally fine. Just make sure you're doing that in a way that's doable, because you don't want to lose weight eating low carb, get to goal weight, turn around and go, "Oh yay, I can have potatoes again and bread and all the things," and boom, all the weight comes back. Okay.
Yeah, totally. Because that's what happened
It's
last time. It was like
it's
intermittent
happened to
fasting with
me.
keto
Okay.
all the
Yes.
way. And I did lose it fast.
Right.
And then I gained it all back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And I
So
don't want to do that again.
if you don't intend to be low carb the rest of your life, if that's not the lifestyle that you want, you don't have to be. You just have to learn how to manage the basics, the hunger, the enough, the sleep, the water, the planning, right? The basic human needs. That's why Corinne doesn't push low carb, because that's not doable for a lot of people. I don't feel good on low carb. My body needs carbs. It needs carbs for energy. I use my brain all day long. I need the carbs for energy for my brain. So just to kind of alleviate everybody here, low carb is a decision that you can make, but I would make it based on how your body feels and how doable is that for the rest of your life. Now, before you gave up, oh, I also want to, you said 15 pounds since the 1st of June.
June 8th, I think,
June
is the
8th.
date.
So that's about 8 weeks. That's about close to 2 pounds a week. So let's gut check something real quick, okay? Are you ignoring hunger? Are you eating when you're hungry?
Well, that's a good question. So I wasn't sure. And then I used the question that Corinne poses, which is unseasoned cold slab of chicken. Would you want to eat that? And the answer was no. But I just was craving, like I was hungry for my snacks. Like that's all I wanted. And so when I did that, and I added like unseasoned broccoli to it as well. I was like, if I needed to eat that, would I eat that? And the answer is I didn't want to eat that.
Mine was, I did the same thing with an apple. I called it the apple test. If I wanted a snack, if I thought I'm hungry and an apple wasn't going to do it, I knew I wasn't really hungry.
Oh, interesting.
So I get that. It's the same concept. How about enough? Do you feel like you're eating to enough?
Yes, definitely eating to enough. I'm learning. I've always had quick satiety. I don't know.
Satiety.
Satiety, that's how you say it. Okay.
That's how Corinne
So,
says it. I like it.
okay,
We'll use
good. Yeah, that's I can
it.
say that. Satiety. So, it doesn't take a lot of food for me to hit what I would call enough. And so I've listened to some coaching calls that say, well, how about two extra bites then once you hit enough? Because maybe you need two extra bites when your body hits the enough, just so that you're not so hungry in an hour or two. But I have found that I might need, instead of three meals, I need like four smaller meals throughout the time period that I eat, because I do stop at eating at night. So I don't eat after dinner, which was a big one for me to eat after dinner, all the sweets. And a big one for me was to eat in the afternoon.
I find my enough takes me about 4 or 5 hours.
Okay, it's not going, I
Okay.
don't think it's going that long. Yeah.
So just play with it a little bit to make sure, you're eating on the schedule that you want to eat. Because if you want to eat four small meals, then I would eat a little bit short of enough. Okay. But
Okay,
if you
right.
want a three meal a day, whatever, then I'd probably add a little bit,
These,
but wait for hunger. Okay.
okay, so these last few days, which have been very clear for me, I've noticed like a smaller breakfast, a bigger lunch, and a smaller dinner has actually worked really well.
Yeah, that's great.
And either I've maintained whatever weight loss or even gone up. I went up 1.5 pounds, last week and tried to, get it back down. So yeah.
Okay. Tell me about snacks feeling like friends. Why are snacks friends?
They comfort me.
Okay.
So one of my favorite things, and I'll incorporate it on a day here and there in my food plan, is the oatmeal cream pies, the Little Debbie's. And that was like a big binge for me food. I don't know if I would call it, I didn't eat a whole box or anything like that, but I could have two or three of those a night, and really feel like comforted that there's something creamy and it's
Okay.
oatmeal, So
Why
the
did you need
fun
comfort?
part,
Why did you need comfort at night?
so my son who's downstairs, he's almost seven. And after, so I'm a teacher, I'm off in the summer right now, but even in the summer, pick him up from day camp. It's a slog. It's like being a mom is probably the hardest job I've ever had in my entire life. And I teach 150 teenage girls during the school year, and that is a cakewalk comparatively. So during the school year, I do that and then come home to him. And during the summer, I try to remain as extroverted as I possibly can with people and friends and stuff like that. But both times of year have their challenges. But I think by the time he's in bed and I can relax, like that's why I've identified with Corinne so much in her saying, like, and now you get your reward,
Yeah.
So.
So if you're teaching all these girls all day long, you're managing the 7-year-old at night, he goes to bed at what time?
I'm usually out of his room by 8
By
p.m.
8,
Yeah.
then it's sky time, right?
Right.
Right? So
Yeah.
how can you, instead of reaching for snacks or friends or comfort oatmeal cream pies, how can you like settle yourself, create calm, comfort? What else can you do?
So one thing that my husband and I have done is watch, we have a show that we watch, we're always like, and then we'll finish it and then we'll start a new show like on Netflix or something. And that is very helpful just to decompress. I used to like to eat the snacks during that time, but I've learned to just try to enjoy the show itself and to spend time with my husband. And that's good. I got a coloring book. That hasn't been as relaxing as I'd hoped. So I've sort of abandoned that.
Coloring is for some people. It's not for everyone. Fun fact, I gave Corinne a coloring book for Christmas 1 year, years ago, and she ragged me about that for like 2 years. She's like, "You gave me a coloring book?" I was like, "I know. Okay, bad choice."
My cousin
Anyway.
gave me one because she loves it. And then she's like, I'd love to see a picture of it. I was like, no, it's not going to happen because it's tedious to
So
me.
I do a
Yeah.
coloring app on my iPad.
Oh.
That's just my thing.
Yeah, that might be. I like kind of like the Apple Pen. I like the feel of the Apple Pen.
And so I sit there and I tap. I'm sure I'm driving my husband crazy, but I love
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
I love
Oh, I
it.
might try something like that.
I think the if it is comfort eating that you want to do, and that's where your snacks are my friends is coming from, is providing comfort for yourself. It just comes down to Zen Color app. That's the one I use, Mary. It
Zen
comes
Color
down
app.
to
Okay.
how else can you comfort yourself? Okay. And a lot of people who come to these calls have heard me talk about the five core pillars. Okay. The
Okay.
five core pillars. Have you heard me talk about them?
No, not in recent memory. Yeah.
All right. So what they do, these five core things do is help you find peace and calm, safety, regulation in your body and in your nervous system. And one of them you've already mentioned is connection. If you're watching TV with your husband, I'd snuggle up next to him. I'd hold his hand. I'd, scooch up there a little next to him and feel some kind of physical and emotional connection with him while you're watching TV. Very
Okay.
comforting if you love to do that together, right?
Yeah. It's like a
Another
big
part of
thing for us.
another part of connection is connection to self. And one of the things I love personally is my fuzzy blanket.
Oh, I have a house coat. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
It's
I
so
wrap
soft.
myself up and I just feel all snuggled and warm and all the things. And that's very comforting to me. The other four are sleep, which you can go to bed if you're tired, right? God, y'all know I always forget one. Connection, sleep, sunshine is one.
Okay.
Now that's not as good in the evening, but that's
Right.
why my walk that I take during the day is so comforting to me. What am I missing, y'all? Sleep, connection, nutrients, giving yourself the right foods and movement. Thank you.
Okay,
Nutrients, giving
nutrients.
yourself the right foods throughout the day will help. And then any kind of movement, whether it's stretching or walking or yoga, or if you're a dancer, if you want to dance it out, anything like that will also help regulate your nervous system. So
Okay.
find ways, a hot tea. There's something about holding a cup of hot tea in your hands, the warmth of it, that
That's
is.
so funny because I've totally gotten into tea because it's a ton of calories and there's all these different flavors. I found a chocolate coconut sort of summery, and it doesn't taste like much, but it smells amazing. So even if I just take a few sips of it, the scent of it, I kind of inhale that. And that has
And the
been,
warmth of that
yeah.
in your hands is also very
Yeah.
comforting. So when you have the thought, snacks feel like friends, it's probably true because that's where you got your comfort. So what
Right.
I would tell myself, and here's the here's like the big movement here. Snacks feel like friends. And notice that I'm thinking snacks feel like friends, but I have new ways to try to comfort myself. All I need is to just snuggle up with my husband in my robe with my hot tea, and I have created that friendship in a different way.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Does that sound doable?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think the afternoon is tough when I pick up my son. And he gets a little treat from Starbucks or something, and I'm like, oh, like resisting, like kind of white knuckling it. So
Yeah. Maybe you
today
tell
I
yourself why
ordered
you
like,
decided not to have it.
yeah. Yeah,
You
okay,
know.
right. I need to kind of get ahead of it, I think, because like when I'm out of the moment, it's a little easier to discern. And today I had like the chocolate almonds or whatever, and I just decided that's fine. I can have those. And they tasted delicious, and I was hungry for them.
As long as you're hung well, as long as you're physically hungry, not just hungry
Right.
for them, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the trick. So, I'd have to go investigate now if I felt physically hungry for food. I didn't do the chicken test, so maybe tomorrow I'll do the chicken test.
Yeah, or maybe as you're cruising through Starbucks to get him a snack, you can decide, how best to care for your body, how best to connect back to yourself and what
How
you
best?
need.
Yes. Okay,
And do
because I
you
will be
really
having
need
dinner
food?
shortly.
Yeah,
Yeah.
or do you want to, play a sing along on the car radio, something that helps
Right.
you connect with him or,
Yeah,
something like
yeah.
that. What best do you need? And it
Okay.
might not be something at Starbucks. It might be something else.
Oh, that's so interesting. All right. Okay, that's good. Food for thought, no pun
Yeah.
intended. Okay, Kathy,
Okay.
thank you so much. I appreciate
You're
it.
welcome. Thank you. See ya. Quenisha, you are next. Hello.
Oh. Okay,
Hi.
here.
Have
Hi.
I seen you in the Facebook group?
Yes, you have.
You have. Listen, I got to give you all the props because you have been posting like nobody's business and asking questions. I have loved seeing you in that Facebook group.
You. You can tell me, hopefully this is the right call. I guess I was trying to frame it. I think I may be in a little bit of denial that I'm emotionally eating. So,
Okay.
yeah. So I joined No BS. About I think 2 weeks ago, tomorrow would be 2 weeks. I've lost 7 pounds, but I've been
Wow.
on healthy eating, getting my life back together for the last 10 months. So I started a daily exercise journey, and then I hired a trainer who was also a certified nutritionist, and I also joined like a registered dietitian because to help me with my high cholesterol. So I feel burnt out from healthy eating. And like, so for example, this week, there was a particular salad that was in the trainer menu that she gave me, and I was eating that like for lunch every day for months. And it was really good. And then I just got over it. I was like, I can't eat this anymore. Like, I felt like my taste buds were like, if you eat this one more time, you're gonna gag. I took a break, tried to come back to it a couple of weeks ago. And then after like a week of it, I was like, I'm over it. But it's been like that. Lot of different foods. I didn't grow up being healthy. I have a bad history of emotional and binge eating. I have bipolar disorder, and that's how I gained all my weight, was like eating and depressive episodes. I got on a GLP-1 2 years ago, and that helped with the cravings and emotional eating. And then particularly in this last 10 months, I kind of made more lifestyle changes. And so But I even so I don't eat a lot of different foods, but so it's kind of like the menu I created for myself. I'm kind of like tired of all the foods. And then this week I found myself, I was like, I don't want to cook. I felt like a little toddler. Like I was like, I don't want to cook. And I was like, I told my husband, you just choose the food. And I didn't like what he chose. And then so yesterday I found myself looking up the Popeyes app, and I had lunch at Popeyes because they had like a $5 deal. But I ate it. I did still follow the no PS protocols where I'm like, I was hungry when I ate it and I stopped full.
Stop at enough, not full.
Excuse me, stopped at enough. And then
Okay.
just now my son wanted frozen pizza. So I added some turkey pepperoni to the frozen pizza. And I had two, and I was like, well, I'm gonna eat it with salad. And once again, I, ate it because I was hungry and stopped at enough. And so these are not foods that are kind of that they're foods I try not to eat because of the high cholesterol. I haven't made like a restricted food list, but the kind of advice I got was try not to eat processed and packaged foods because it impacts your cholesterol. And so I'm wondering though, I'm like, did I eat the Popeyes? It feels a little rebellious, even though I don't feel like I was seeking an emotion. Like, I don't feel like I was seeking comfort, or I wasn't sad, and I wasn't like, oh, I'm happy, let me go eat. It was more like I'm exhausted from the healthy eating. So I'm good Popeyes today. Like,
I would
I
call
opened
that
up
rebel
the app.
eating.
Yeah, I guess it was kind of rebel eating in that way because I was just like, I went to the app. I mean, I was craving fried chicken all weekend, and we did buy some fried chicken because I was craving it. I didn't like that particular restaurant. We tried taste. So I guess I still was like having a taste for fried chicken, and that also made me the app. But yeah, so I think I was wondering because when I posted in the group about this, people were like, have you overly restricted yourself? And then they kind of were like, oh, well, you have Popeyes. You can have it sometimes. And I was like, well, the Popeyes wasn't a big issue. And then, but being on this call, I was like, am I being in denial? Am I emotionally eating? And
So
even though I stopped, I was like, maybe I am engaging in some.
here's what I think. Okay, you tell me if I'm wrong. All right. I think you went super restrictive and then you rebelled against it. And this is very common when we go, like I was talking to somebody on the call about the keto diet. Do you remember? Were you on the, I went
Well,
through, I did, I don't know, 3 months of keto and lost 50 pounds, something stupid, ridiculous fast. Okay. And as soon as I was off that thing, I was like, thank goodness, give me a piece of bread and a potato and a steak and gained it all back probably faster than I lost it. Okay. So Corinne teaches us in No BS to lose weight the way we want to live life. All right. And you've got all this input coming from a nutritionist and the doctor and the trainer and the this and the that and the healthy eating app and, all these things telling you what you should eat rather than gut checking it with how do I want to live life? Okay. So what if Popeyes once a week is totally fine and you can still lose weight as long as you eat between hunger and enough?
I guess one, I don't crave fried chicken that much. So, I mean, I know Popeyes. Like, I do eat pizza once a week with barbecue chicken wings. So, I feel
Yeah.
like I restricted myself because I haven't said food is off limits. But I would be fine if I wanted the Popeyes, but I guess I'm worried about my high cholesterol. So not having certain foods like cheddar cheese, I love cheddar cheese and I've restricted eating it.
Did you cut it out co totally or did you cut it back?
I cut it back.
Okay.
Like I was eating it like as a snack every day. I haven't eaten it in the last 2 weeks because I ran out of my Costco cheddar. But and also with eating with when I'm hungry, I don't crave the snacks anymore because like kind of like with you, my hunger lasts for 4 to 5 hours. So I haven't eaten the cheddar cheese and I haven't wanted it really as a snack. But I think that's kind of the issue is like I'm not afraid of the weight loss or weight gain because I don't feel like I'm engaging in the binge eating or the emotional eating to that level where I don't stop. But I'm afraid of the health issues that may arise from me eating certain foods. And so that's
Okay.
why I kind of have them on a no to low list, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally get that. And that's a decent reason, right? For having a no to low list, cheddar cheese or processed foods or whatever. How does your body feel when you eat whole foods?
I mean, I feel good. I mean, like
Yeah.
I've had depressive episodes, my moods have been stabled, I've been happy. And between that and the daily exercise, like I feel like I've slowed. I know it's not, I still take my medicine and all that other stuff, but
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
I feel like I don't have body aches and pains. Like, so the last 10 months has been a total like 180 in my quality of life.
Yeah. So that's what I would hold on to when you have the urge or the voice in your head that says, we should have, cheddar cheese or we should have processed something or other. Ask yourself, what's the currency I'm going to pay for this? That's one of my favorite questions is, all right, if I want mine's cheesecake, girl. I want all the cheesecake all the time. Okay. Yeah. All right. If I order a piece of cheesecake and I bring it home, what's the currency I'm going to pay for that? A, I'm going to overeat it. Kathy has no control around cheesecake. Okay. Sorry. Coach me if you want. It's just a fact. It's a fact of the world. Kathy has no control over cheesecake. I'm going to overeat it, so it's going to feel heavy in my stomach. It's probably going to mess up my bathroom routine, just being honest. All right. I'm really particular about my bathroom routine. I'm going to see it on the scale. So it's not an everyday food for me because I don't want to pay that currency every day. Now, do I want to pay it a couple times a year? Probably. And that's okay. I just know in advance of the currency I'm going to pay for that food, the price I'm going to pay, how it's going to affect me, however you want to word that. But I think for you can say, I really, really want Popeyes today, or I really want pizza, or I really want, a piece of bologna, something processed. That's just what came to mind. Okay, that's what I want. What's the currency I'm going to pay? Am I going to pay for that? And am I okay with that? Do I like that decision? Okay. How does that sit with you?
Oh, that's it. Well, I think I heard that on one of the recordings and the replays, and I thought that was a very unique way to think about it.
Yeah.
And I guess I wonder though if I'm still, I don't want to say cheating myself, because like if I eat to enough, I don't really have bad currency because I'm not overeating where it would cause like ache or nausea being on the GLP if I overeat. So I wonder if I'm like still in this weird kind of place where I'm like, am I still engaging in unhealthy habits, but I'm stopping myself before it becomes a point where it has bad like consequences.
Yeah, I think that's going to be something you're going to have to figure out. You're going to have to determine. I can't tell you, oh no, you shouldn't eat Popeyes, or you shouldn't eat, whatever, or cheese or whatever. I think that's something that you have to check in with your own body and decide about with your blood work, with your medicines, with how your body feels. If we can, this is the woo part of this call. If we connect our brains with our bodies, we get all kinds of signals from our body. We know what's hungry. We know what's enough. We know when we're nervous. We know when we're stressed. We know how certain foods make our bodies feel. Okay? And when you begin to connect that, it becomes easier to say, I don't think I want any cheesecake tonight. I don't like the way that makes my body feel. I'm not willing to pay that currency. Okay? So as you think about how does my body feel when I eat that salad that I don't want, that piece of chicken, those whole foods versus the processed foods, then you begin to get reasons in your mind about whether or not you want to eat those things. What's the currency you'll pay? How am I going to manage that? Okay. You begin to see the repercussions more clearly, in other words, especially if you have health issues attached to them. Another good example would be a woman who has arthritis, who, if they eat, I don't know, bread, gets a
Right, they
flare,
make it.
or a piece of cake gets a flare of their arthritis. They know they really want the cake, right? But I know if I eat a piece of cake, I'm gonna feel it the next day. So for you, think about it in those terms. I really want the whatever it is, but this is how I'm likely to feel it tomorrow. And am I willing to be okay with that? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does that help?
It does help. Yes.
That help? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Take care. Keep posting. Keep asking all the questions. You're doing great. I love it. Okay.
Okay.
All
Good night.
right. Bye. She is so cute, y'all. Lee, you're next. Looks like Lisa is taking care of the Q&A, which is amazing. Amazing. Lee. What you got? Here she comes. Hello.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. You are not driving, right?
Oh no, I'm in the parking lot.
Okay,
I'm
excellent.
headed into choir practice when we finish.
Nice. Nice. What you got? What you got on your mind tonight?
Well, I've got this. My life is about to change because I'm in what I do, and I'm an independent contractor, and as of Friday, we have been asked to, we're going to be replaced at a store that we work in. I say we because it's my husband and myself. We do the same thing. And we've had a relationship with this store for 30 years. And the store was sold in April, and so they've decided to hire an in-house person to do their jewelry appraisals. And so we're not gonna be there anymore as of in a couple weeks. And I'm having a really hard time with it. And I'm trying to do the thorns and the roses, and I'm listening to Mel Robbins, let them let them and let me thing, and I'm working on it.
Tell me
And
why you're having a hard time. What are you feeling?
I'm feeling terrified because I've got to replace this income.
Okay.
We're both 62, and it's, all my friends are retiring, right? All my teacher friends already retired, and all my other friends are looking at retiring. And darn it, my mother, sorry. So I feel like I'm having to start over. I know I'm not starting over, and everybody knows us, and we have a really good reputation, and I've been doing this as an independent contractor for 20 years. No, more than that. 23 years. And so I shouldn't have a problem finding work, but I'm scared.
Okay. So let's take you through the three-step process to feeling a feeling, okay?
And I want an entire bag of Oreos right now.
Yes, of course you
We found
do.
out on Friday, and I've
Of
been
course you
doing
do.
pretty decent, but
Oreos,
it's
can't you
just
do better than Oreos, girl? Come on.
well, I'm mostly gluten free, and they make gluten free Oreos, and that's one of
Okay.
the things that I can.
So let's do this. You named terrified as the feeling, right? Why would it be normal for you to have fear around losing this part of your income? Why would that be normal?
Because I'm losing 90% of my income.
Right.
It's like lose, both my husband and I both have basically lost our jobs.
Okay. So it would be normal because you're going to see a change in the income.
Right.
It would be normal because it's created some uncertainty for you, right?
Right.
And
A lot of uncertainty.
our brains don't like uncertainty, right? They
No,
like
my brain
calm.
does not like
They like
change.
controlled. They like no change. They like everything to be nice and boring, right? So of course you feel fear because of the uncertainty, right? Is there any other
Right.
reason it would be normal to be fearful right now? Terrified was your word.
I'm scared that I won't be able to, I feel like I have to reinvent myself.
Okay,
And I'm
that's part of
scared
the
of that.
uncertainty, right?
Right.
I don't know what to do next, who to
Right.
be. Yeah.
I know what I want to do, but I don't know if it's possible.
Okay, that's part of the uncertainty, sure. So when you think about this feeling of terrified, where is it in your body? Where is the tension in your body? Did it cross
In
your
my
spine?
chest and stomach.
Chest and stomach. What's it? Tell me what
Yeah,
your
I feel
chest
like I'm
feels
gonna
like.
puke every time I think
Yes.
about it.
Yes.
And when I get really upset, I get everything's in my stomach and
Yeah. Does it feel like somebody's
that's what
sitting on your
I
chest?
worry.
Feel like somebody's sitting.
No, I feel
What
like
does your
I'm gonna
chest feel
throw
like?
up.
You're like you're going to throw up. It's just all nausea, all upper body yuck and nausea. Okay. So do this for me. Put your hands on your thighs.
Okay,
Okay.
hang on. I gotta put the phone down.
Okay.
Okay, hands on
All
thighs.
right. And then you're probably sitting like this with your shoulders up, right? I want you to drop your
Oh,
shoulders.
yeah, definitely.
Drop your shoulders. Okay. And I want you to slouch. Just slouch a little bit. Okay. Kind of roll your neck around a little bit, roll your head around. Just really think about releasing the tension in your shoulders, in your neck, and in your chest. Take a deep breath. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, I should have asked you this before. How much fear do you feel? Is
A
it
lot
less?
less,
Yeah,
yeah.
a lot less. My teacher, Leah, who I learned the nervous system stuff from, says stress can't live in a relaxed body.
Okay.
Okay. And when you're able to relax your body like that, clarity of thinking comes back, cognition comes back. When you're terrified, you're very reactive, you're very uncertain, you're very worried, you're very anxious. But when you can relax your body and you can create a sense of calm inside your body, you can create a sense of calm inside your mind. Now, you might have to do this 10, 12, 15 times a day while you work through this.
Right.
But you will make better decisions, more productive decisions about how to replace your income if you're able to calm yourself a little bit more.
I did a brainstorming session with two different friends, and I felt calmer by the end of that because I had a lot of ideas and I wrote everything down. I'm trying to journal. I'm not a good journaler. I write poetry, but I'm not a good journaler, and I write good stories. One of the things I want to do is write a book.
Why don't you write a story about the next version of Lee and see what
Oh,
comes
I like
out?
that.
Yeah. It's almost like you'll be creating future self. But what
I
you'll
like
do is
that.
maybe you'll write about Lee as a grocery store clerk, and you'll be like, no, that's not what I'm gonna
No,
do.
I checked at Winn-Dixie when I was 18.
Yeah. Maybe the next version of Lee is still a jewelry appraiser, but she's working for an insurance company. And you gut check that. You see what I'm saying? Take each of those ideas that you have and write a little story about it and see how it
Okay.
feels to you. Because when you gut check something like that, you can figure out which way you want to pursue, what you want to look into next. But you do it from a relaxed body. Okay?
Okay.
What questions
That
do you have?
makes
Oh, I want to say this too. When you relax your body, your urge for the Oreos goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think about that until you just said
Yeah.
it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Oreo urge goes down because the Oreo urge is there because your body really wants to be relaxed. That's what its
Right.
goal is. And when it's agitated and it's stressed out, it's going to offer you the thing it knows most to help you relax, and yours is Oreos. So when we relaxed your body a little bit, you didn't need the Oreos anymore.
Right.
That's pretty
Yeah, I
slick, isn't it?
completely forgot about them. And I won't think about them for the next 2 hours because I'm going to go to choir practice. So that'll be good.
Connection with other people, right? Song, vagal tone. You're going to be toning your vagus nerve, creating a lot of rest and digest in your nervous system because you'll be singing and humming and being with music. Yeah.
Yeah, thinking about music is in a completely different part of the brain, so.
It's very calming when you think about music.
I always feel better.
Activates that creative part of your brain, and it
Yeah.
helps regulate as well. So do that. That's your homework. Journal about, you have all these ideas now. Take each one and journal about your future self in that role and just see how it feels. If it's easy to journal about, if it's hard to journal about, whatever it is, and I think you'll figure it out. You'll at least give yourself a direction to look into.
Okay.
Okay.
I have to say my accountability partner is messaging me and she's watching.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate her. That's a really great relationship to have.
Yeah, it is. It's really great when you find your people that you can talk to and trust. And
So shout out to Audrey.
yeah, I see her in the chat. She says you're rocking this and she's proud of you. You good?
Yes.
All right. Holler if you need us. Okay.
Thank you.
All righty. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, one more. Annette, you still have your hand raised. You've been so patient. Thank you. I will say while Annette comes up that if you want to dig into this kind of work, Lisa and I are your girls in the private coaching. We have studied on this kind of stuff and nervous system regulation, relaxing the body, feeling the feelings. Annette knows me. She's worked with me on the nervous system before. It's really, really good work that helps take the temperature down on the food urges and helps you get to know yourself in different ways. So, okay. What you got, Annette? Hello. Good to see you.
Good to see you. I fell off my kitchen counter last Friday
Girl.
and I led with my head into the floor and then I twisted and biggest problem is my ribs and stuff. I can't really move very well.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that.
So since then, I've been kind of trying to actually move, but for drop it like it's hot, I had gotten into the weight workout that Corinne had posted in the website. So I'd started, lifting hand weights and doing stuff like that and trying to get stronger and walking and, just getting my movement and getting my joints lubricated and things like that. Well, and really developing the life that I want to live. Well, I'm in maintenance. I was maintaining and getting this life, and well, now this happened. And now I feel like I'm just totally disconnected from that. Because now I
Disconnected
can't.
from what you were doing in July, maybe, right?
Yeah, I mean it's almost like I got pulled away from no BS. And I know that's not true, but it's like this was what I was doing. And I had my habit tracker and all these habits. Well, now I'm just crossing things out because I can't do my 30 minutes of movement. I can't do my weight workouts. I can't do my planks. I can't do anything. But getting out of this chair is the only win I can post. Because for 2 days, I had to have my husband help me get out of the chair.
So if you fell off a counter, why wouldn't getting out of a chair be a big win for you?
Well, what? My husband was checking on me. He likes
See,
to check
what a
on me.
sweet pea. I'll tell you this, Annette. When I was losing my weight, 47, 48 years old, I was also running half marathons. Okay. And felt really great, good in my body. I was down chugging the Advil like nobody's business because my knees hurt so bad. Fast forward about 10 years, and what does Kathy do? Two knee replacements in 5 months. Do you think I'm beating myself up because I don't run marathons, half marathons anymore? Do you think I'm telling myself I'm disconnected? Or am I more connected to my body because I'm taking such good care of my new knees and I'm easing myself back into walking as much as I can? I think for you might not be able to do what you were doing in July, but you are so much more connected to your body because you're healing and because you're managing pain. Does that make sense?
And of course, I had to go to the doctor because the ambulance had to come get me because I couldn't move. I couldn't hardly breathe. And so then I had to do a follow-up with the doctor yesterday. Of course, they make you stand on a scale. And I mean, I was up like 5 pounds.
Okay, why would
It's
that be normal?
And it was just like,
No, answer my question. We're not, I'm not, look, you know me, Annette. I'm not going to let you live in the painful moment for very long. Why would being up 5 pounds at the doctor's be normal after falling off a counter and breaking ribs? You're a nurse. I remember.
well, an X-ray tech, but
Oh, X-ray tech. Well, you have medical in your background.
I'm thinking Well, I do know there's a lot of inflammation in my
Yes.
body because I grew kind of an extra head up here. Plus, I've got huge bruises all over this side of my body. And there's got to be total inflammation over here because my whole rib cage is kind of ish. Breathing sometimes it's hard. So it's got to be. There's got to be a lot of inflammation. Plus, I've been just downing water. Just, well, trying to keep my blood sugars halfway in check.
So what I want you to remember through this period is the most important thing is your healing, not what the scale says. So you want to eat foods that you know are healing for you. You don't want to overeat and overtax your body because overeating will draw energy away from the healing and put it into digestion, right? And you want to drink your water. And so as you're healing, the basics become even more important, and you have to become even more connected to your body and to what's to no BS. Right?
Yeah, and I can't sleep, so
Well,
because
you
I
have
have
to
to
be,
sleep in a recliner and you can't move because I can't roll over. You have to lay, kind of half sitting up on your back so you can't move. So I
This
don't
is where
sleep as
where
well.
you catch rest where you can, right? I was the same way after
Yeah.
knee replacements. You don't sleep after knee replacements either because you can't move.
No, I've had a knee replacement. Yeah. That's craziness. So I'm not sleeping, so I'm not getting my, when I do my assessment, I can't say I slept 8 hours.
Can you say you rested 8 hours?
Oh yeah, I mean that's all I do is sit
Then
in
I would
that
check that
chair.
box. Corinne, Annette, Corinne, you've heard Corinne say, as long as you're in the bed for 8 hours, check the box. If you're trying to
Yeah.
sleep, if you're resting your body, check the box.
So I do, fade off because I have pain pills, which then make you be groggy. And so then if you take a deep breath, you'll wake up. But, I do rest. I'm being kind of hard on myself, the basics, it's like
Yes, you are. And that
if
I'm
you
glad you
get,
see that. I'm glad you see that. Now is the time to be caring for yourself, not hard on yourself. Because I know when you heal, I know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be doing your planks again, all the things. But right now is the time you connect with your nutrients, your water, you're hungering enough, and you take good care of your body and get your rest so that you do heal properly. Okay? That's how you stay connected to no BS.
I tried to listen to Corinne and I can only sit here for about 45 minutes and I was like, I cannot sit here any
That's
longer on
okay.
Sunday.
That's okay.
So I had to get out of the chair and move someplace else and try and turn it on and then I'd fall asleep and it's like, okay, I can't do that. And it's like every time I turn around to do something, it's like, of course, then I've got the hovering of my husband that's like, what are you doing? How come you're doing that? How come you're moving over there? How come you're doing so.
You be patient with yourself, okay? Be patient with yourself. Rest when you can. Connect
Not
back to
trying to
what
take
you
a deep
need.
breath in, but that
Well, sometimes you can't take a deep breath, right? But you can release your shoulders and you can rest and you can be patient with yourself. Okay?
Okay.
All right. You heal easy, okay?
Okay. Maybe I'll start listening to the calm and confident again.
That'd be great. That'd be good. Give yourself something to do.
Put that in my ear, and maybe that'll
There you go.
help me
Listen.
relax a little bit. Okay.
Sounds good. All right. You take care, okay?
Okay. Thanks,
All
Kathy.
right. Bye. Got some questions in the Q&A. I'll get to real quick and then we'll get on out of here. I asked the question about eating sweets when not hungry, but I couldn't figure out how to answer the coach question there, but the answer is yes. As long as I eat a sweet after a meal, I can eat just one or a single serving, and even just a bite or two, but if I wait until I'm actually hungry, I'll overeat anything sweet. So that's really interesting, Anonymous. You'll overeat anything sweet if you're actually hungry. So here's what I would do. If you're actually hungry and you're eating something sweet, I would sit at the table and I would process every bite. I would understand, taste every bite. Don't wolf it down. Don't eat too fast. Eat slow and enjoy every bite and see if that slows you down a little bit. Okay? See if that prevents you from overeating. If it doesn't, I would take what you've learned here and what Lisa worked with you on in the Q&A and take it to Ask Coaches and let us work with you some more on it. Okay? I think that's it. I think the rest of these are just responses to the amazing Coach Lisa, who took care of the Q&A tonight. As I said, if you want to go deeper in this work, we always have private coaching. You have this call every month, and I'm glad you were here and I'm glad you're listening. Please let us know if we can do anything at all for you, okay? All right. You all take care, and I will see you in the groups. All right. Bye now.